Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer this hour, and I'm delighted right now to welcome Oakland's new police chief. Laron Armstrong is an Oakland native. He's been on the OPD since 1999. He was sworn in by Mayor Libby Schaff 2 weeks ago, and he's with us now to discuss his plans to address the city's public safety challenges, including a recent surge in hate crimes directed especially at elderly Asian Americans. Chief Armstrong, welcome to Forum.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, listen, I do want to talk to you about your priorities and the budget and all that, but I want to just get a little bit of your bio, because you are the first Black Oakland Police Department chief. You were born in Oakland. What's the significance of that, both to you and to the OPD?
Well, I think the significance starts with community, right? I mean, it really is a moment for our community to feel like they are a part of this public safety structure, that somebody that's grounded in Oakland is at the helm of the police department. I've spent the vast majority of my career working closely with community-based organizations and building relationships with our community. And so I'm really happy to be in this position, but also to be a role model to young people in Oakland that want to see a change in certain systems, to be a part of that change that they seek. And so that really is an important moment for me. And I hope that others are seeing me in this position and hopefully look to attain this top-level position in the future.
I want to come back and talk more about what those changes might look like, but you were raised in Oakland by a single mom, and I believe your brother was shot and killed in Oakland in 1985. You were, I think, just a young teenager then. What impact did that have on you and and where you are today?
It had a tremendous impact on me, I think. You know, as a young man growing up in Oakland, a lot of young men experienced trauma at a very young age, and it had a tremendous impact on my life. It brought to the forefront what it looks like to lose somebody that you really care about. Having a brother in the morning when you go to school, and then when you come home, not having a brother anymore, is something that is very difficult for a 13-year-old to be able to process. But it also made it clear to me that I wanted to live in a safe community where no one else had to feel the same pain that my family and I felt at that time. And so that really has been the driving force behind me wanting to be a part of public safety and improve public safety for the residents and communities in Oakland.
You do you have any recollections of your family dealing with the OPD after your brother was killed?
Yes. You know, it's one of what I call the decibels of both sides, that you grow up in a community that doesn't have very much trust in law enforcement. But then all of a sudden, one event can make your family totally reliant on law enforcement to bring justice for you. And so that is a reality that I was forced to see, is that now all of a sudden we need information from the police department. They became a very intricate part of our life for a short period of time. And so really understanding how important it is that you build trust in your community is something that started from that event for me.
We're talking with Oakland's new police chief, Laron Armstrong. And if you'd like to join us, give us a ring at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also send your questions and comments to the chief at Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or you can email us as well. It's forum@kqed.org. So you've been on the job a couple weeks now. In some ways, that's the honeymoon period, right? None of these things are your fault yet. But have you had any surprises?
Long hours, very long hours, and heavy demand. And so I've been requested for more meetings than I've ever been to in my life. And but also will say that the community's response has been overwhelming and has been really supportive. And I appreciate that. I appreciate, you know, a part of our community that typically would not applaud a new police chief has reached out to me and showed their support. And so I believe that that is the beginning. It really is an opportunity for this department to change its relationship with the community and change the way people view the Oakland Police Department.
A lot of chiefs, of course, come in to the job saying that, and it's certainly important and necessary to have the relationship with the community, especially communities of color. What needs to change, other than you being a good listener and being rooted in the community as you are? What else needs to happen culturally within the department?
I think we really have to seek to be a part of the community. To not be seen as only responding to when there's an emergency, to be present, to be a police department that actually cares for the community that we serve. And so I really bring that. I bring a true care for the city of Oakland. I bring a true sense of service. I believe I have a responsibility to my community to be of service. And really, that I think is a part of the cultural change that needs to exist within the Oakland Police Department. How we go out and do our jobs every day in a way in which we understand the challenges that our community faces, but how do we approach those challenges with community and not as just a response to community issues? And so just a sense of togetherness as we all deal with the spikes in violence, tremendous trauma that's happening in our community. I think the Oakland Police Department needs to be a part of that community and have a closer relationship on the ground with those that are impacted the most.
We're talking for the rest of this hour with Oakland's new police chief, LaRon Armstrong. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you, especially if you live in Oakland or if you are even on the Oakland Police Departments or have been or part of the criminal justice system. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. And you can get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. You probably know that by now. We're at KQED Forum, or email us. It's forum@kqed.org. Scott Schaefer here this hour with Oakland's new police chief, LaRon Armstrong. Stay with us.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
And welcome back to Forum. We're talking this hour with Oakland's new police chief, LaRon Armstrong. If you want to join the conversation, give us a ring, 866-733-6786. I may have misspoken earlier in the hour. You are the first Black police chief born and raised in Oakland. If I said something different, I apologize for that. But you alluded a moment ago, I think, to some of the crime that's been on the rise. And in particular, there's a lot of concern about assaults and robberies that are surging in Chinatown. What's going on there, do you think?
I think we've had some challenges with those that have come into Chinatown to really seek to rob or steal individuals. We really think it's a crime of opportunity. And so we've had to make some adjustments. We had some assaults that really were alarming to not only the police department, but the entire community. The assault of a senior in our community that's been highly publicized was something that I think all of us were shocked by. But, you know, we are committed at the police department to responding to these types of crimes. I reallocated resources to support the non-English speaking portion of Chinatown. And I think that's important because I think the department has a role to play when it comes to communities that don't feel comfortable passing forth information to law enforcement, calling law enforcement, or sharing potential evidence that could help law enforcement. And so my new Chinatown liaison officer is now in place and on the ground in Chinatown and beginning to respond to those communities that are non-English speaking. And so I think it's a tremendous help. But I will say that, you know, our response was quick and swift, and we made a key arrest in the assault of the 91-year-old senior.
When you say it's a crime of opportunity, what does that mean? Because I suppose there's always opportunity to commit a crime if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are those in our community that ride around and look for people that they believe potentially might have something of value. So whether that is property in terms of cameras or any other electronic equipment, or even potentially cash. And so I think that they assume that they have the opportunity to quickly take those belongings and flee. And so that makes it even more important that we are sharing information like surveillance camera information. It makes it more important that those that see these crimes occurring give us a call and give us a description of vehicles or individuals that you've seen involved so that we can immediately follow up. And that's really why the Chinatown liaison officer is so important, because some of these business owners are non-English speaking. And so we want to be able to go in to these businesses and communicate with these business owners so that we can collect that information and help solve these crimes.
Do you think what's happening in particular in Chinatown and also in the Asian community here in San Francisco, the violence directed at seniors in particular, do you think it's related in some way to the pandemic?
I think the pandemic has an impact on violence across our city. So since the pandemic, obviously in Oakland, we finished the year 2020 with 102 homicides. We had an additional 15 homicides in the first month of 2021. We know that the pandemic is causing some severe issues in our community around anxiety, around poverty, around people that are in desperate need of resources, and some have seek to commit crimes as a result of that. And so as we begin to do our follow-up, those are things that we are looking into, is what is the driving reason behind people being involved in these crimes. I think it will help us better understand how we can work with the city to find additional ways to support communities that may be impacted the most.
Talking with Oakland's new police chief, LaRon Armstrong, here on Forum, we'd love to hear from you. What changes would you like to see? What would you like to see the chief do that's different from past chiefs? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. Or you can send your comments to Facebook via Facebook and Twitter. We're at KQED Forum, or email us. It's forum@kqed.org. Let's go to Michael in Oakland. You're first.
Thank you, and good morning, Chief Armstrong. That it's nice to hear the enthusiasm for your new job. That one of the ways I was hoping to see the Oakland PD reach out to people, and this is, I saw after the riots the day after in the Fruitvale area, that I saw two officers riding down the street on horses, which actually just lit my heart up. And I really think that that's a great way to reach out to the community, that bringing things from the past to the future gives you something better than both in the moment. That I would really like to see that expand. My boss was a horse trainer at Golden Gate Fields, who passed away December 5th from everything that's been going on. One of his great dreams was to see these retired racehorses from Golden Gate Fields actually be used by the police department and possibly be used for people with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Let the chief respond. Basically, I think what the caller is saying, as well as the horses per se and what the image of that conjures up, but get out of the car, you know, be part of the community, right?
Yeah, that's so important. One of the things that these two liaison officers that I've deployed, they'll be on foot, one in Chinatown and then one in our Fruitvale district, really walking around on foot, getting to know community. I think that's so important. I heard the request around the mounted unit. We've had a mounted unit that we was recently cut as a result of budget cuts. But one of the things that I plan to do as chief is our team will be utilizing social media to really ask the community the question, what would you like to see OPD implement? What new strategies do you feel like are important to you? And I think we'll be listening. We'll be listening and we'll be bringing forth those recommendations to the department as well as to our city government. And so we want to be able to be out there as much as we can. And we encourage our officers when they have free time to get out of their cars and walk. That is important. Community seeing officers walking in their community is meaningful to community members. I've heard that across the city. So that is something that I'm emphasizing.
All right, Michael, thanks so much for the call. You've said, Chief, that you are committed to full compliance with the negotiated settlement agreement, which, you know, the department has been under a court order reform that's been overseen by a federal consent decree for, I think, 18 years now. Why has it taken so long to comply with that?
It's hard for me to say one particular reason why it's taken so long. I think we've had a list of several setbacks within the department, some serious challenges that has required the department to relook at itself. I'll say that as
What does that mean?
It means that there are things in the department that need to be changed, clearly. We have to follow policy. We have to be transparent, and we have to, our officers cannot be engaged in misconduct. And so that is a cultural change that needs to exist within the organization. And it starts with me sending clear messaging to our organization about what's acceptable and what will not be tolerated. And so some of the investigations that we've taken on in the last several years, I think, have had a tremendous impact on trust in our community. It's my job and my mission to change that, for us to not be engaged in these type of incidents any longer.
Give us an example that you think like, wow, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, the current social media scandal that we're currently investigating, where officers, participate in some potential post online, where white supremacist photos were shown, extremist posts were made. That conduct cannot be tolerated. I've been very clear since day one, for those that have participated in that misconduct, they will no longer be welcome at the Oakland Police Department. We went to our court hearing with the judge on Monday, and the judge was very complimentary of the department's effort moving forward. I've been clear with my messaging. It's clear from my staff that they know what will not be tolerated. And so my expectation is that officers behave appropriately, that they're professional, and that they treat our community with dignity and respect. And if they don't, they'll be held accountable.
Yeah. You know, it's a little hard to believe almost, really, that that sort of stuff is going on in 2021 in the Oakland Police Department in light of everything that's been happening in a city that is, I think, majority, minority. And what is it about police departments generally, but about the OPD in particular, that tolerates that? I mean, like what you said, it won't be tolerated. Of course it shouldn't be tolerated, but it is so often. And sometimes the union will defend officers from being fired for all kinds of things. Why does that go on?
I think that is something that happens in this policing profession across the country. I think OPD is not the only police department that deal with some of these challenges. But I think we've seen incidents across the country over and over again that says to not only law enforcement leaders, but our community, that there needs to be change. And that change needs to be intentional, that we have to do a better job of hiring who we decide to allow to be a part of this this police department, the way in which we monitor officers' behavior, and our willingness to make those tough decisions, to be honest and say, this officer should no longer wear a badge. We can no longer protect misconduct or find excuses for officers' misconduct. I've been in close contact with our union. They're in complete support of rooting out anyone that is connected to this type of behavior that we're currently investigating. And I think that's the start. And so that is my mission. That is my goal. And I believe that we're going to turn the corner.
We've got some listener comments here. Allison asks, what do you believe the role of the police department should be within the Oakland Unified School District?
Alice, I think that's a very important question. And we currently don't know what the answer is. We want to support the district in whatever way they feel is important to them. The district has taken on their own initiatives about what safety looks like in OUSD. I've been in touch with the superintendent, and we are prepared to have discussions at some point. I will say that, you know, over my long career, you know, I've had an opportunity to be a part of a change in how we police in schools. And so I think you will see a progressive way in which we involve ourselves in schools that really supports the district's plan, the district safety plan. We just want to be a support there and be utilized in any role that they feel is appropriate.
Another listener comment here. While it's not the most pressing quality of life issue in Oakland, the unrelenting sideshows in my area of East Oakland are incredibly destabilizing to our community, not to mention unsafe. Outlaw driving in general has become common, passing on the wrong side and so on and so forth. What are your thoughts about that, that kind of a problem? As Lynn says, you know, it's not the top problem necessarily, but where do you put it?
It is one of my top problems, to be honest, Lynn. It has reached a place where it's become much more violent. It is much more dangerous than we've ever seen. The crowds are larger than they've ever been, sometimes in the range of 200 to 300 people, along with an additional 200 cars involved in sideshow activity. It's obviously impacting the residents in our community. It's a danger to those in our community, and the firing of guns in our community poses a risk to everyone. So it is a priority for me. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we suffered severe budget cuts that cut our budget that was allocated for sideshow deployment. We have been in communication with our city administrator and the mayor about how we can potentially find a way to support placing additional resources out there so that we can prevent these sideshows, be able to intervene in these sideshows. So it is something that is a priority for me, and we're working diligently to try to create a response. I think you will see in the next week or two, there will be a significant presence to prevent these sideshow activities from occurring.
Talking with Oakland's new police chief, LaRon Armstrong. If you'd like to join us, give us a ring at 866-733-6786. Let us know what changes you'd like to see in the OPD. Again, it's 866-733-6786. And let's go to Carmen in San Jose. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Carmen, and thank you for taking my call. I'm not in Oakland, I'm in San Jose, but it applies to every policeman in the streets. It is good for them to go out, but they should be out in a way that they walk around, not with their hands on their guns, like they're ready to shoot you. And the reason I say that is because I had a terrible experience on Fourth of July when I walked to the policeman in the street to ask him a question. The first thing he did when he saw me coming was to put his hand on his gun, and I felt very, very uneasy and frankly angry at his posture, because I'm a 83-year-old woman, didn't have anything in my hands. So walking should be done in a way that is not threatening and not running around with their hands on their guns.
Chief, thoughts? Thank you, Carmen, for the comment.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. One of the things that we train at the Oakland Police Department is to not put your hand on your gun if it's not necessary, or your weapon. One of the things that we train our officers in procedural justice is to be mindful of their body language, be mindful of the equipment that they have on their belts and the impact that can have on the people that they're interacting with. So these things, they have to constantly be cognizant of their approach to people, understanding the difference between something that is a safety risk and when it is just the community contact. So those are conversations that we're having with our officers to make sure that they don't sacrifice their safety, but they also understand that they don't want community to feel uncomfortable approaching them or feel threatened by their actions. And so these are things we're training to continuing to remind officers about that as they go out and walk in our community. And even as they approach, even responding to crimes in our community, just being cognizant of how we approach every interaction. Requires a different response.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And Eveline in Alameda, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking on such a large task and trying to make change moving into the future. My question for today is, how do you plan on dealing with non-responses to emergency calls? I lived in Oakland, and many times there would be emergency of life and death, and the police just wouldn't show up. How do you plan on facing that?
Chief?
Yeah, this is a critical issue for me, and it's been an issue for the police department for a long period of time. Do we have the appropriate number of resources in the field to respond to calls in a sufficient time period? So what I've done so far is moved some of our specialized resources into our patrol division. That's already beginning to decrease our response time. We see some improvements. I think that's the most critical issue for us, is that when someone picks up the phone and calls 911, how soon does a police officer show up to provide the assistance that is needed?
Chief, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're really short on time, but we've had a number of comments that I'd like you to address rather quickly, unfortunately, because we are almost at the top of the hour. But Jasmine writes, I'm happy to hear that there are new liaisons and more officers in Chinatown to help out with the uptick in crimes of opportunity, in quotes, but please call it what it is, Asian hate crimes. Why are you adding officers in Chinatown specifically? The civilian attack was an Asian senior, and it's become part of a, you know, crimes rising against Asians due to the pandemic. Thoughts?
I think we have been very clear about crime across the city. We are responsive to our Asian Chinatown community because we know that they're impacted because of language barriers. And so we're making sure that we're on the ground. We also suffered some significant cuts that took resources away from our Chinatown community. Yeah. And so our liaison will help fill that gap for us.
All right. A conversation no doubt to be continued. Chief LaRon Armstrong, Oakland's new top police officer and chief, and we wish you well. We know it's a tough job being on the front lines, and we wish you well.
Thank you so much.
And we will continue with Forum. Rachel Miro is hosting the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Scott Schaefer. I'll be back tomorrow with San Francisco Mayor London Breed. We'll be talking about the pandemic and the city's response, and maybe what comes on the end of all those vaccinations we're hoping to get in the coming weeks and months. Scott Schaefer, thanks so much for listening and joining us and all your great comments. Have a great day.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.